This is the FM Rainbow Channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on Presidential Election 2017. The participants are Professor Subrata Mukherjee, Political Analyst, and K.V. Prasad, Journalist.
The contest for the next President of India has begun today in right earnest, with the BJP-led NDA nominee Ram Nath Kovind filing his papers with the Secretary General of Lok Sabha, who is the returning officer for the July 17th polls. Of course, the opposition has already announced its intention to field former Lok Sabha Speaker Meera Kumar as a contestant to challenge Mr. Kovind. So, the long tradition in this country of the President of India having an election, both with the ruling dispensation being challenged by the opposition, continues. Professor Mukherjee, barring 1977, when the contest was unanimous in Neelam Sanjeev Reddy being elected the President of India, we have seen that every election since 1952 has witnessed a contest. In the wake of this decision, first and foremost, Mr. Kovind seems to have a very sizable numbers, because looking at the BJP and its allies and the show of strength that was demonstrated at the nomination time clearly shows the ruling coalition has nothing to worry.
Well, Prasad, what you said is true, that all the presidential elections had been contests, but you also mentioned one exception. But then it was the exceptional situation that made it an exceptional unanimous choice, because remember, it was after the emergency, which India has not faced before or after, and there I think Sanjeeva Reddy became the natural choice, because there was a denial in a way before the emergency, when his own party, the Congress, did not support him, and that led to a very tricky situation that the party members really voted for Giri and not for Reddy, and that exactly was not very healthy for democracy. And in a way, when Sanjeeva Reddy became president again, the past was forgotten and that unanimity was necessary for a national healing. Now it's a normal election, and in the normal election there had always been a contest. And now in the context of today, there are two large national formations and there is a contest. See, the significance of the presidential election also is to be understood in the context of the electoral college. You look to the legislative assemblies and the Lok Sabha and the Rajya Sabha minus the nominated members. That means in a way, the president is elected by the entire nation in an indirect manner. And that creates a special kind of legitimacy for him. In that way, though it is largely a ceremonial position, more comparable to the America, the British Queen than the American President, but still I think there is an aura about it, and who becomes the President is keenly observed both in India and abroad. Now if you really look to the present contest, I think there is a reflection of a limited identity politics, and that both the national parties were aware of, and they moved accordingly. But here I would like to point out certain other things. Now, if you really look to the NDA candidate, he comes from the grassroots in a way. He had been a member of parliament. He is presently the governor of Bihar. And now, he has a checkered career. On the other hand, the UPA candidate is also formidable, coming from quite a rich background, a rich heritage, daughter of being the most important administrator that India had produced after independence, and her own record is quite exemplary. But then I like to also point out the limitation of the second choice. She was member of the parliament 5 times and then became a speaker. Now I would like to ask a question, that why should the UPA be restricted to such a narrow social base, that we will have to fall back only on the seasoned politicians rather than really finding out new faces. Now, I think you will have to credit the present NDA nominee for having broadened the entire arena of political recruitment, where the UPA nominee, I think, is a reflection of restrictive politics.
Professor Mukherjee, if you really look at the past contest, except probably in the case of Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, most nominees who have been nominated at that point of time by the government of the day or the ruling party of the day had come from political background or had worked into the political sphere and then got into the presidential house as the president of the party. The only exception, of course, as you said, was 2002, when the Vajpayee government preferred to have a technocrat. so to say, or a scientist, a missile man, as the President of India. But if you look at the current context, you mentioned about the dynamics, the fact that Prime Minister Modi and BJP Chief Amit Shah picked up Mr. Kovind, who has, as you pointed out, a varied experience, an experience of administrator who incidentally worked with Morarji Desai. That's what all the reports mentioned. He has the legal background, having been a practicing lawyer at that, twice a member of parliament in Raj Sabha, serving in various committees, did party work both as a leader for the party cell and the as also a spokesperson. Of course, you can juxtapose it, but everybody knows that these elections are whipless elections, so people will vote. It's a secret ballot. So appeal of a candidate works according to the party affiliations, of course, will be there. But appeal of the individual charm, does it ever figure, like if you mentioned of 69 was a different circumstance when the conscience vote was asked by the government of the day?
I think whip or no whip, people normally follow the party diktat. And then the advantage in the present context is so much in favor of the treasury benches, I think the contest is to be symbolic. But here I like to point out that you mentioned Kalam, but Radhakrishnan was also not exactly a political candidate. And remember the occasion of that, the two-term Rajendra Prasad presidency, which really did not end in a very happy note, because the points he raised over the presidential powers led to a lot of discussion. And then I think at that time, the Congress was looking for a towering personality, but not exactly a political one. And there, I think, Radhakrishnan, who was our ambassador to the Soviet Union, and I'd like to point out one rare thing about Radhakrishnan, that Stalin was quite an elitist, and he would not give audience to most of the people, but he gave Radhakrishnan half an hour. So that kind of a thing was done. And Kalam, I think, was quite an important selection, because at a time, just after the Gujarat riots, I think it was again needed for national healing. So, secularism is strong in our country. Constitutional democracy is also moving in the proper direction, creating a larger acceptance. The crisis of belief structure is much less in India today than what it was, say, 70 years ago. And in the 70 years journey, if you really look to the presidential elections, there was an ideological battle. Remember that Kalam's opponent was the left opponent, and that time also she lost quite badly, but even she had a glorious past and quite a remarkable figure. In that way, one very important word that emerges, though the presidential position is ceremonial, all the parties take it seriously.
Professor Mukherjee, you mentioned about the victory of APJ Abdul Kalam. In fact, the Election Commission website data shows that he got 89.6% votes, which actually is the percentage of votes calculated on the basis of the Electoral College. And the Electoral College is divided by the number of MPs, MLAs, as you just explained. In fact, the highest point, if one looks at it, was 1957 when Rajendra Prasad contested for the second time. He got 99% votes. And next to it was Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan in 62 with 98.2% votes. And that near sweep was again in 1997 when K.R. Narayanan got 95% of votes against T.N. Sishan. So you had formidable opponents, you had formidable, in fact, one more, if 1967, Zakir Hussain, he was the contestant, the challenger was Koka Subbarao, the former Chief Justice at that point of time, 56.2, so that explains that numbers also worked differently. But coming to the current election, if you look at Mr. Kovind's credentials have already been made. And today, after filing his nominations, he did mention the fact that the highest constitutional post comes with a lot of dignity, and he will strive to retain and maintain the dignity of the office. And that is a non-political post, and he mentioned that when he became the governor, he had given up political party, and he would draw distance from the same. The president is seen as a guide to the government of the day.
Conscious keeper of a nation, in a way. And if you really look to all the presidents, have performed, except at a particular time when there was some conflict to Jail Singh, you see.
And Rajiv
Gandhi. Except for that, I think the presidents have followed a position of dignity and proper guidance. And in a way, victory I used to do is to give the advice in private, and that is what the royal family in Britain does. I think our presidents have followed that tradition, and in that way, I think there is an excellent balance in India between the head of the state and the head of the government. And that's again a very healthy sign for our democracy.
Professor Mukherjee, there has been a lot of debate going on the need for the opposition party to bring in a candidate from the same community, if one may say so, the social base and everything and so on. The narrative is just about building. And you mentioned about, again, the credentials of the opposition candidate in Meera Kumar. How do you look at that?
Well, you see, the identity politics within a larger national framework is a fact. Every political party follows it. And if you really look to the way politics is performed, it is done throughout the world. But it's not an exclusive category. And within a larger framework, you know, the politics of accommodation takes place. I think the finest example, if you really look to, that Ambedkar and Gandhi, there was a bitter, you know, opposite views between them, the nationalist struggle. But when we won independence, it was really Mahatma Gandhi, as Ramchandra Guha says, that really advised Nehru to have him because of his capability. And then, of course, entire thing is history, that how he really worked out a fantastic constitution. So in a way, I think, it is a very important factor that in any kind of a nation of major contradictions and fault lines, these accommodations may be symbolic but are essential. Because ultimately, symbolism is also an important fact in nation building, as Rena.
Professor Mukherjee, you mentioned about the contribution of Ambedkar, and everybody knows him as the father of the Indian Constitution. And of course, the role carved out for the President of India is the custodian of the Constitution. And in that capacity, he continues to be the person, the light from which the governments of the day look at whenever it's required. And often we've had issues on constitutional matters which have cropped up between the government of the day and the President of the day, but they have been sorted out in many a manner. If you look at the current day polity and the way it is looking, I mean, we've just emerged out of era of coalitions, one may say. So we have a very clear majority in the last Lok Sabha elections, and then successive assembly elections have shown that people are giving clearer mandates. In such a situation, a President of India, and of course we are heading towards the 2019 elections, and then we are also going to soon celebrate the 75th year of our republic.
Well, Prashad, I think the presidential job is increasingly becoming easier. You know, in a coalition, there may be some doubts, but once there are clear majorities, then I think it will be easier for him to function. Apart from that, there is another interesting point, that even if there is a one-party majority, I think the alliance system has come to stay. Look to the NDA. Actually, the most important component of it has a clear majority, but it has continued with the larger formation. That's again a very healthy sign. And on the other hand, the UPA and the opposition is also continuing some kind of an umbrella organization. In that way, you see, there is a larger people's participation, representation, and the entire nation knows that there is a clear choice. In that way, what Mavlankar really wanted at the inception, when he formulated the 10% rule, because he wanted to have a two-party system in a very different form, rather than what's happening in the other first-past-the-post system countries like Britain or United States, what is happening in India, that we are getting again two larger formations, and that's again very healthy for democracy.
Professor Mukherjee, between now and the date of election, how do you see this campaign where presidential candidates reach out to members of parliament, members of legislative assembly, and what kind of messaging do they have?
Prashad, I think, you know, the meeting the politicians and the legislators, MPs, is an important exercise. But it is not exactly a political exercise. It's an exercise of knowing each other, a confidence building, and then it's for the MPs and the MLAs to decide, because as you said earlier, there is no whip. Though there is a clear understanding that normally people follow the party line, in that extent, I think both the candidates will move around and create an atmosphere by which the entire thing becomes lively and interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on presidential election 2017. The participants were Professor Subrata Mukherjee, political analyst, and K.V. Prasad, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.